Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, today I thought we'd talk about names. What's in a name? What does name mean? Well, we sometimes may not be able to give a definition of something, but we understand what it means because names are words or designations that describe something. By official definition, it's a word or phrase that constitutes the distinctive designation of a person or thing. That's pretty highfalutin, right? A word or phrase that constitutes the distinctive designation of a person or thing. In other words, it describes it. It identifies it. When we say His word is good, that word good describes everything that God is. He is absolute goodness. So names, or words, if you will, are used to distinguish objects, and they contain many times the characteristics of that object or that person. Names are generally, if you've ever had and I have a book on the meaning of names. For example, my name Judith, well, some descriptions say it's the praise of the Lord, and that's what I choose rather than she who is praised. But it's from the actual root word from the Hebrew yada or Judah. And so it's fascinating to learn that sometimes even with individuals, you may have not been born in a saved household, but your name sometimes very much reflects, even if your parents weren't saved, that the name that they chose to give you, even though it may not, they might have not even been saved at the time or been very spiritual, that it actually describes the person that you were born to be. The Lord, even for the unsaved, I think He got, well, that's true for us, you know, if you've been saved perhaps in your mature years, that obviously God's hand was on you from the moment of conception. So names are designed to distinguish objects, and they characterize the aspect of whatever the person or the object is. And names, for example, give distinct impressions that the objects are made of, for example, or their special relations in which they stood to the person. For example, a father, a mother, those are familial relationships, or an aunt, or an uncle, a brother, or sister. And the first time we really see names brought into consideration are in the very opening chapters of the book of the Word of God, the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, it says that God brought the animals to Adam. And why did He do that? He gave Adam the privilege to name them. And obviously, it's not detailed, but from the impressions that the animals made on Adam, well, that's the name that He assigned to them. And as we move on in terms of spiritual understanding, we know that names at times are given prophetically to individuals, as is certainly the case of Jesus. Remember, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said that even though she was a virgin, she would conceive in her womb, and that holy seed would be called Jesus, which means Jehovah saves, God saves, praise God. And so, throughout the Word of God, names are considered very important. God considers names important. For example, let's look at a scripture found in Proverbs 22 and 1. And the Word of God says there, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Wow, if someone had a choice, you mean it's better to have a good name than wealth, than money, than mammon, the things that the world runs after? And a good name is, in scripture, in that scripture I used, for example, is similar or synonymous to reputation. So a good name or reputation is advised by scripture. It's better to have a good name or a good reputation. That's rather to be chosen than great riches, because a reputation is a reflection of your person, your character, the choices you make. And when it comes to the Lord our God, well, when God gave Moses what we call the Ten Commandments, one express command of the Lord is found in Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Why? "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And we know that many times today we hear it happen so frequently where the name of the Lord is taken in vain, in cursing, in swearing, and his name is not to be, his name is to be spoken with reverence. The name of God, the name of Jesus, the things that come, especially out of the mouths of Christians, that, you know, we may have been guilty of that when we were unsaved, but that is one of the things that's why, you know, the word says, "Set a watch upon my mouth." Don't let us, Lord, in any way, especially in reference to the holiness of the names of God, let us never take his name in vain. Why should that be? Why would God ask that his name not be taken in vain? Well, we know in scripture that the name is many times put in place for the reality of that person. For example, let me give a classic example in Revelation 3:1. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. And remember, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he was commanded to record the things that he saw. And so Jesus, whose eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet as if they burned in a furnace, as brass burning in a furnace, whose eyes were as a flame of fire, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword. He said, regarding the church of Sardis, which, although people can say, well, that was just for that time. Well, that's true, but many of the biblical scholars refer to church ages. And he says, Jesus says to Sardis, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." And he was saying, you have a reputation. You have, your name is in place of the reality of where you're at spiritually. And of course, another example of the name is put in place of the reality, if you will. Philippians 2:9 says, and this is referencing Jesus, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," that's Jesus, "and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So the name of Jesus actually represents the reality of all that he is, his power, his glory, his majesty, his truth. And so a name also, according to scripture, represents the title and dignity of the Lord. As a reference, let me give you Ephesians 1, verse 21. Chapter 1, verse 21. "Christ is seated at the right hand in heavenly places," and I now quote, "far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named," not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So his name, the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, it represents his title, it represents his dignity, it's the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we carry these thoughts further, the name of Jesus expresses his attributes, and his attributes imply the divine and complete authority that he has in this age and in the ages to come. It implies, expresses his character, his glorious rank, his power, his majesty, his excellence. There's none like the Lord our God. And so his name, that's why God was so powerful and so demanding, if you will, that the name of God be not taken in vain, because it's synonymous for the reality of the Lord himself. And that's why he gave that second commandment. Don't take it in vain. Don't take it lightly, because God's name is blessed, is blessed. Psalm 72 and 19 says, "And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory." And then a final scripture I'll share with you today, found in Psalm 135 and 13, the eternal significance and reality of his name. Psalm 135, 13 says, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." In other words, he's beyond time. We're creatures of time, but a time is coming, according to the book of Revelations, where one, the angels says, "Time shall be no more." What a glorious place and time that will be, right? When we're with God, when time shall be no more, because time was confined. That's not God's reality. He's eternal. But we are creatures of time. And there's coming a time when the role of the ages, the times that were assigned to man, will be no more, and we will be in the eternal and blessed presence of he who spoke all things into existence. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Blessed be his glorious name. And I'm quoting Psalm 72, "Let the whole earth be filled with his glory." Well, we'll continue these thoughts and sharing on tomorrow's broadcast. I pray you can be with us. Until then, I invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.